And you're welcome along to Season 3, Episode 31 of LOI Weekly with Johnny Ward and Daniel MacDonald, who is on Skype this morning. It's an exciting time for Irish football after the victory of the 21s and also the very good results that the senior team have gotten. And we have the results in of the FAI Cup semi-final draw, which likely pits Rovers against Dundalk in the final, or does it not? We have Shane Dawson in this morning making his debut, part of a... The little triangle of classy footballers in the North Inner City. Jack Byrne, Wes Houlihan,
Troy
Parrott, and
Shane Dawson.
That's actually the triangle. You're kind of in the
Well,
background.
I'm a goalkeeper, so I wouldn't even class myself as a footballer.
You did a lovely interview with Jack, which we'll play later on. We'll have Decky Devine. And we've plenty to get through on the show, but the Jack Byrne interview did really well online, and I hate that term. It's done well for us online and all that, but it is getting a lot of traction.
No, it is. It is good content, as they say. Like, he's so down to earth, and he's so genuine and humble and just so easy to chat to. You know, he's no airs or graces about him, and that's what you want. And I suppose it's welcoming to be able to chat to someone or to interview someone like that, and for him to just be honest with you and for him to be real with his answers. There's no stock answers with him, you know, so long may that continue. If there's a few more lads coming through that will be open and honest like that, happy days.
Yeah, Shane is obviously a big Shelburne fan. I'll be at the Drogheda Shells game, so we're going to have a good chat about that later on, and we will hear from Decky Devine as well, who is also talking to Shane. But before all of that, here is what Jack Byrne had to say to Shane on Wednesday, launching Ayr's coverage of the new season ahead. And here is Jack right now.
Jack Byrne, 500 international to play for the Republic of Ireland senior team, the 64th Rovers player to play for Ireland. A night of records. Have you come down from that high in that buzz yet?
I'm trying my best to be fair, but obviously really proud, and you know, to be the 500 player to be capped as well. You know, it could have came on. James Collins comes on 501, and obviously everyone's talking about the 500 player to be capped, and it's an unbelievable honour for me. And you know, it's just been a mad couple of days, and I'm buzzing, to be fair, still buzzing.
What did Mick say to you after? Because, you know, you got the assist, you were involved in the third goal as well. All in all, not a bad night's work.
Yeah, he just said, well done. He said, he just gave me advice. He said, you know, keep going. Things in the game he thought he could have done better as well. And, you know, I'm very grateful to him, because he's given me my opportunity to go out and play. And, you know, nobody can take that away from me now. I have a cap from my country. Proudest day of my life, do you know what I mean? So he obviously gave me the opportunity, so, you know, very grateful. And he just said, well done after the game. You know, I think he could see how much it meant to me. Like,
a lot has been said about Mick, you know, wanting you to play further forward. I was at the post-match press conference last night, and he said if he sees you collecting the ball off the two centre-halves, he's going to give you a kick up the arse. So is that the message all the time?
I think it was just tongue-in-cheek, wasn't it? He was just saying it as whatever, but I know the areas he wants me to play, and I know where he thinks I can affect the game, and you know, where I can be most influential on the game. So, look, he's saying it to me to help me and try and make me better. So whatever he's saying to me, I'm going to listen and try and take on board, because he's a lot more experienced than me, and he's the Republic of Ireland manager for a reason, like, you know. So whatever he says, I'll try and listen and take on board. And if he wants to see me play higher up the pitch, then I'll try and do that. Like, especially if I'm playing in his team and that's what he wants me to do, then I'll do it. If he wants me to play wherever, and if he gives me instructions going out on the pitch, then you try and follow them to the best of your ability. Like,
a great cameo role last night, but do you feel you can realistically break into this Irish team now for the qualifiers?
I don't know. It's not for me to say. It's just for me to, when I'm given an opportunity, to go out and try and do well. And look, I'm not going to have nights like last night all the time. It's not going to be, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go out and make a debut. And the buzz you have going out and the excitement, and I understand it's, you know, maybe for someone like Glenn Whelan last night, they're not getting the same kind of buzz off that game. But, you know, it's an indescribable feeling I had last night, and I know not every game is going to be like that. But when I'm given an opportunity, well, hopefully in the future, if we get another opportunity, then hopefully I can try and just do as well as I can and just give him a headache.
You said last night that the jersey was back in your ma's gaff. Has it found a rightful home?
now it's still in my mask cap, yeah. So it'll go up on the wall somewhere, I'm sure. And look, it's an unbelievable feeling, and I'd probably want to put the jersey somewhere. Even if I wanted to put the jersey somewhere, she wouldn't let me take it out of the gaff. So it is one of those, isn't it?
Touching on that, like your mother Jackie, how big an influence has she been on your family been since you've come back and played for Rovers?
Yeah, to be fair, I think everybody knows, you know, I lost my father when I was 11. So my ma has been an unbelievable part of my career. And, you know, I was quite low last year. I wasn't playing as much as I wanted to. The year before that, all of them didn't go the way that I thought, you know, the move would have went. And I wasn't great, to be honest. And she was the driving force behind bringing me home and you know, getting myself back happy and playing football. And, you know, last night was for her, you know, my dad and the rest of my family. So, you know, it was just an unbelievable night, to be fair. And, you know, I owe it all to them, look.
Dan, what did you make of that? What did you make of Jack on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, Jack always speaks quite well. I thought Jack was great on Tuesday night. I mean, I'm not really surprised he did well. I know a lot of people, and it's natural that you have to focus in on the opposition. I mean, you know, sometimes we talk about it international level as though it's this remarkable thing that somehow you know, this player who plays in the League of Ireland will come on and somehow be overawed by this sort of unattainable standard, which is often exaggerated, really. You know, I would always argue that with the international football, it's often the scrutiny and the profile and the attention that comes with it as much as the actual quality of the play. And the fact is, anyone who saw Jack Byrne play against Bran and against Apollon Limassol and how he handled those games, which were probably more intense, really, to be honest, than Tuesday night, just like didn't have the symbolism of playing for your country, they probably knew he would be fine. And, you know, some of the sort of analysis of Jack afterwards, it would suggest that he hasn't played in a proper game like that before, where he's probably had more testing games this year. And as people who follow League of Ireland will know that, like, you know, Jack's like at times, and he might even say so himself, that maybe, like, you know, some say the Bowes games and those matches hasn't necessarily, like, he's found it more difficult than he found that, you know, and he was very comfortable. But I mean, the point is, like, it's I've seen a lot of players make their debuts for Ireland in recent years, and they have loads of ability, and they get complete stage fright when the moment comes, and that didn't happen. He does look like he belongs, and certainly now, really, I you know, there's always a feeling that that when a League of Ireland player is called, it's a token gesture, and that's a mindset that's probably embedded with people. And you know, there have been times when I think that's been a very fair analysis of what's been going on. And I'm not so sure that Mick McCarthy was that convinced about Jack Byrne's ability at the start of the year. I'm not sure if he was sure of his ability a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he very definitively said that, you know, well, Alan Judge is better than Jack Byrne and Danny Crowley, which it's unusual that a manager will come out and say it so definitively, like, one option I have is better than another option, you know, in the squad that's in your thoughts. So it wouldn't be like him to come out and say, I believe that, I don't know, James Collins is better than Shane Long, say, or whatever, you know, like that's not something that would be used. But I think there was a massive doubt there about Jack. But I think the way in which he coped with the occasion the other day shows that, yeah, like he'll be in the next squad on merit. There's no doubt that he's there on merit, not as a gesture to anyone.
WWS Worldwide Saints, he was a good friend of mine, passed away, I think it could be 13 years ago now. But his brother Ozzy Ryan, 1,500 likes for his tweet. Jack Byrne showing his lack of experience at this level for Ireland by continually pointing at his feet and calling for the ball chain.
Yeah, he demanded it and he didn't look out of place. And, you know, as Dan touched on there, there has been a lot of cases where League of Ireland players come up in their token gestures. But I think we're getting to a stage now where he should be Jack Byrne, not Shamrock Rovers Jack Byrne or the League of Ireland's Jack Byrne. He's just Jack Byrne, an Irish player, a player that deserves to be playing at this level, and a player that is good enough to be playing at this level. And we saw that. Like, I mean, he's got the assist. He had a smashing pass to Enda Stevens for the third goal as well. So he's involved. But it's just that hunger. And, you know, I was at the match and I was watching him closely. And
he was your player cam.
He was my player cam, along with the goalkeepers, you know, goalkeeper reference in there. But you know, showing that hunger and desire, and just wherever he was on the pitch, just screaming at people to give him the ball and look to just lay it off and to be that kind of link man. And there's people comparing him to, you know, there's slight comparisons to Wesso and stuff, but just let him be him and let him play his game. You know, I think Mick said after as well, if he sees him collecting the ball after two centre halves, he wants to kick him up the arse because he wants him playing further forward, and that's where he can flourish and that's where he can thrive. Just give him that bit of freedom to really show what he's capable of.
The irony of that comment by Mick, Dan, is that Jack showed a willingness to get on the ball that, rightly or wrongly, you look at Glenn Whelan basically pointing to his players to basically point to left and right, get the ball away from me. We actually don't really have midfielders that playing for Ireland that do what Jack did the other night, in my view.
Yeah, I do think, though, like we have to dial in a small bit too. I mean, like Glenn Whelan's is a deep-lying midfielder, you know, who last week was probably exposed at times by space created by others actually leaving him, you know, unprotected against a much better side. So, like, you know, I don't like that doesn't help Jack, like, sometimes. Mm. And I do sort of agree with what Shane says, that, like, I think to change a mindset, we sort of have to just get into the habit of just talking about these people like normal squad members. And it's an issue I would have in the past, that, like, I know Jack was the 500th senior international, but I know there's a lovely video of Jack coming on and stuff, but I almost think, like, well, there should be a video of James Collins coming on as well. Like, in the sense that I remember when Andy Boyle and Horgan were in the squad before, a lot of FBI social media stuff of here's their shirts in the dressing room, here's their training gear, and there was almost like there was a line underneath it of, well, they say we don't do much for the League of Ireland, but look at the fuss that we're making about these lads now. And I think also as well, there is an emotional thing as well, that, like, naturally, like, the League of Ireland fan can be very put upon. I do have this niggling sense. I mean, I feel it myself at times. I mean, Jack Byrne has been playing in Dublin all year. Like, people should be able to trust their eyes and not need Jack to do well in an international match to realise he's a good player and to want to go and watch him. You know,
like, absolutely.
Yeah, he has been available, but. And I do feel that, and there's people like you who commentate and speak about football and love football or might even go to shows and pay in to watch journalists talking about football in, like, you know, Liberty Hall and the Sugar Club and all these places, and they mightn't go and pay to watch Jack Byrne in their own town, and I think that's mad, right? Mm. But at the same time, like, I think over-egging praised because we want Jack to be treated seriously, it can have a negative impact, that people start going, oh, well, what has Glenn Whelan done, or what is, you know, what does Jeff Hendrick do, or what do these players do? I mean, like, they've played in the Premier League, you know, for a long period of time. They've had exceptional careers. And I think it was interesting, like, Wes Brown was speaking at that AIR event yesterday, and I see his quotes are in the papers today. And Wes talking about Jack, you know, when he was at Blackburn, that he always had the ability, but maybe, like, at times he was too, you know, was he too overconfident in some people's eyes, or, you know, managers wouldn't trust him. And I think that's the more relevant point here, is that why hasn't Jack, to a degree, pushed on and thrived in his career? And it's possibly because there is a mindset with managers about not trusting that type of player, and that's where the comparison with Wes comes in. So it's about what his attributes are, not so much about where he plays and stuff like that. And, like, I think, like, yeah, I understand why the League of Ireland fan will go overboard and really praise what he did the other night, but it sometimes doesn't help him too, because I think it sort of gets the managers, it winds up the senior managers as well and stuff like that. So it's almost a sense of, Jack did very well, celebrate it, but, like, just let him, almost as Shane said there, let's hope that almost next month that he's just treated as a normal squad member.
Exactly.
The people are having a discussion, like, who will come on in this game, because he won't start the games next month. Like, I don't think that's realistic at all. But the people are like, well, he should bring in Jack Byrne, and not needing to have this massive debate about his club status and where he plays, just judge his ability. And I will go back to, like, you know, I remember Stephen Kenny making the point last year when he was still Dundalk manager, that, you know, international football is very different sometimes to club football, and just because you haven't played X amount of games doesn't mean you can't make an impact. But just at the same time, I think it doesn't help. I know it's well-intentioned, but it mightn't help sometimes Jack to go overboard and start, you know, slating other players who've had very good careers to sort of make a point.
Yeah, I don't think there's necessarily slating, but it was nice to see him constantly demanding the ball. I think one thing you will say about the League of Ireland is that Shane's interview showed that him coming home to Dublin, being at home with his family, just made him into probably a better footballer because he's happier on the pitch. And also Shamrock Rovers gave him the license to play where he wanted, whereas if he went to England, who knows how it would have worked out for him. But you mentioned managers getting angry at stuff, and you had an article kind of about the Mick McCarthy situation. They'd just been asked about Stephen Kenny and that. I think we both watched the 21s game. Dan, I've never been as excited about Irish football as I am at this moment after watching that game. And you know, you maybe are reading too much into it, but I don't think I'm reading too much into it. Ireland went to Sweden, second season of the group, absolutely dominated the game, dominated the ball, didn't even start Troy Parrott, only came on with sort of 35 minutes to go or so, won 3-1, and three League of Ireland players start as well, two of them very technically good players, including Mandrew. I don't know, how excited are you about this, and you know, how good was it for Irish football, I suppose, that performance?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to my point before. It was 11 good players started, and not just picking out the League of Ireland lads. You know, like it's a really good team, and it's a really good generation. And like, a lot of people take credit for that because there's a real homegrown flavour to the team as well. And probably what Stephen Kenny has brought in, like, he obviously has this ability to, you know, to encourage players to express themselves and use the ability that they have, and also, there's probably been a fast tracking of players through the age groups that may not have happened before, where there might have been a more rigid structure at 21s level, and probably an emphasis on recruitment at 21s level that maybe didn't necessarily allow the talent that was there at times to show itself, you know. So like, a lot of people deserve credit. It's a well-coached team and it's a well-produced team of players, you know, produced from different parts of the country. So yeah, like, it's great. I mean, again, I'm almost in a sense of, because there's this desire for the Stephen Kenny thing to work, and that you there's almost a sense of, like, just to keep it in perspective a small bit. But I mean, I was watching the game going, this is fantastic, you know, like, this is really good. You need good players to execute that, but I thought that the actual collective team display, the fact that they went one behind, missed a penalty and kept coming back, the fact that it won all, the sense that they were good enough to go for it and they kept going for it and they kept trying to play, that was the best part about it for me. And yeah, I mean, they had more possession, they had more chances against a team that you know, they have good pedigrees, that, you know, that Sweden team, I think quite a few of them have played first team football, so it's great. I mean, the dynamic around, like, the 21s doing well and that being brought up at senior press conferences is deeply uncomfortable. And it's clear that Mick McCarthy is uncomfortable with it. Now, he did accept the job in these terms. So he knew that this was coming down the tracks. And I don't know, maybe has the success of the 21s team to a degree, like, I don't know, did they feel maybe, has that surprised people? It's made it more awkward in a strange way. You would think that it should make it better that the two teams are doing well, but actually it just makes the discussion around it that bit more uneasy. But that's the gig, like, that's where we are. Like, selfishly, I know there's a discussion about calling some of the players up to the senior team. I mean, selfishly, Stephen Kenny won't want that, of course. You know, he will be hoping that Mick stays pragmatically, that these games are for the tried and trusted, which is his belief. And that means that Kenny gets to work with these players next month. But now it's encouraging. They are still young players playing at age group football, and it is still a different animal to step up. But you can see with the clubs where some of them are knocking on the doors of Premier League level of teenagers. So it's hard not to be really encouraged and enthused by it. And also, you know, you would think that some kind of rapport has been struck up collectively as a group that means that when Kenny does take over next year, that, you know, he's hopefully arriving at the right time with some of these players.
Yeah, and we saw how much Troy Parrott expressed his love for this country on Instagram over the last few days. His messages, you've expressed your love by taking a few days off in beautiful Killarney. So we should wrap up with you. But before that, the cup draw. Interesting, the big two obviously kept apart, but Shamrock Rovers could have done without a trip to Dalymount as well, I would have argued.
Well, I mean, Bowes have to beat Crumlin first, right? So you've given Crumlin their team talk, and you've also given Bowes then their team talk if they do, because you've started talking about Dundalk Rovers final already, and that's also just like a Rovers team talk as well too. So, like, you know, I wouldn't jump too far down the tracks with all of these things. Like, you would imagine that it will end up with that Bowes Rovers semi-final, but you know, just give due respect to Crumlin that they can that like in many respects, like the excitement or the enthusiasm or the sort of prospect of playing Rovers means the Bows really have a lot to lose going into that Crumlin match. So it's a sort of a perfect scenario for the underdogs to try and capitalise on it. But if it does come to that, that would be a great occasion, but also, as touched on earlier in the year, a deeply frustrating occasion, because you're going to have a game, a League of Ireland match, where actually now I think you probably could have four times as many people there if you had enough tickets to satisfy them. And like turning away 1,000 people from the game is frustrating, but turning away, you know, double, you know, maybe double the attendance, maybe more realistically. I think, you know, it's not that long. Was it 2001 where Bowes played Rovers in a cup semi with like 7,000-8,000 people at the game? I think certainly, you know.
It will be sold out in Tala anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, it'll make it, the tickets will be hard to come by if that game does happen. But, like, I don't know, it just bugs me that it would be that way. Mm. But for the organisers, like, you know, they might have liked the idea of a Bowes Rovers final. I would have thought actually, like, you know, the Rovers Bowes semi and Tala would have been perfect really as an occasion. In fact, it's in Daly Mount. And I mean, let's just remember, Rovers did finally get their win over Bowes recently, but it was in Tala,
and it wasn't convincing either.
And yeah, exactly, it wasn't convincing. And going to Daly Mount, if that's what happens in a semi-final when Rovers' season is very much reliant, I think, you know, on the cup, whereas actually, you know, from a situation where Bowes, if they were to get through that and Dundalk got through the other semi-finals, then, like, you know, Bowes would be in a situation nearly where if they lose the cup final, fourth would still be enough for Europe, if you get me. So, like, there could be a lot of pressure off them in terms of their achievements for the year. So it's great. Like, I mean, I think it builds up for the competition. And, like, Sligo Rovers as well, they were beaten comfortably enough by Dundalk, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but they have beaten them there at home this season. And
yeah,
the game a couple of weeks ago, I think Ronan Collin pulled out a bit late.
Wouldn't rule Sligo out at all, because they're you know, their eyes are very much on the prize here as well, and that
the full house
showgrounds would be like, rocking. Yeah, absolutely.
Too great. There'll be two, like, if it does come to pass that it's Bowes Rovers, like, you'll have I'm not sure what the division will be. It'll probably become clear, you know, across the Friday and the Sunday. But they will be two great cup semi-finals. I know. I think there's a, you know, it's got the potential to be a proper cup weekend that, like, with proper promotion and organisation, there should be like a link, a momentum between the two games. And it's good. I mean, I must say, like, you know, it's funny, like, how it's flipped. I mean, like, you know, Dundalk are winning games so easily at the moment. And obviously they've got the EA Sports Cup semi-final on Saturday, that, like, there is potentially something very special building for that Dundalk team almost out of nothing, you know, in the sense that, like, they haven't been getting massive amounts of, like, there hasn't been huge publicity of what they're doing because there was so much eyes on their and expectations in Europe. But, like, their domestic record has been sensational. And it's possible they might just be picking up speed at a very important time of the season. So, yeah, and, like, even the fact that Jack Byrne's going to be involved in the semi-final, and you would hope that off the back of Jack being in the Ireland squad, that there is more eyes sort of tuning into what he's doing. So I'm sure Jack in the Aviva in November will be very good for his own ambitions as well.
Thanks very much, Dan. Enjoy your little mini break.
See you, lads. Enjoy.
Cheers, Dan.
To quote Polonius in Hamlet, brevity is the soul of my wit, or not when it comes to Daniel. He said he'd be very short, but it's very hard to shut the man up on football. And in fairness, I do give respect to Crumlin. I am kind of writing their obituary already, albeit with the knowledge that giant killing just doesn't really seem to happen that much anymore in the Cup, probably because of...
I think it's been played in Richmond Park as well. If they had got it in Crumlin, which was never realistic, but if had got it in Pearse Park or something like that, it might have given them a bit more of an edge. But
I'd love to see I'd love to see Crumlin on the one hand, like, cause a shock, but I'd also like, I'd love to see a Bowes Rovers semi-final. And I'm not writing off Sligo Rovers at all, obviously. I think Sligo will give, if they can, like, I've been a little bit disappointed, Shane, that Dundalk have just kind of, like, obviously you want a title race, and Dundalk have just kind of steamrolled teams. Yeah. But Dan did mention there, I should bring this up, he mentioned, like, promotion of the games and all that. Like, the FAI Cup, to me, there were officially less than 1,000 people at the Waterford Dundalk game on Monday night, which is an absolute disgrace. It was a cup quarter final. How people in Waterford would not, A, want to see Dundalk, and B, not want to see their team get into the cup semi-final and possibly the Viva Stadium. I know things aren't great in Waterford, but, like, I thought that was pretty bloody depressing, actually, to be honest. The other results were Galway 1, Shamrock Rovers 2. The official attendance there was something like 1560. Everyone in the press room thought there were a lot more at the game than that, but obviously that was the official attendance. Great atmosphere. We'll have a chat about that as well. Sligo 4, UCD 0. Disappointingly one-sided game there, really. We should be having better games between two Premier Division teams at this stage of the season. And in the league, Dundalk 1, Cork 0. Harps 1, St. Patrick's 2, first win for Stevie O'Donnell there, and that was a big win in terms of the relegation battle. In terms of Harps, briefly on the 21s, what have you made of it? I mean, I don't know if you saw the game, but I was just flabbergasted by it, really, in ways, without really knowing how good Sweden are, but at least their second season in the group.
Yeah, no, it was great, and I mean, the hype's justified now. But I think as well, Dan may have mentioned there, there's a lot of goodwill for Stephen Kenny. People want Stephen Kenny to do well. And I think because we've had such negative press and it's been so grim, Irish football as a whole, over the past few years, that anything positive we were going to just latch on to and be, this is fantastic. So you don't want to over-egg it in that sense, that, you know, you don't want to get ahead of yourselves. But it is good. And as much as there's quality and there's skill in this group of lads, there's passion. And there's emotion. And you saw all the scenes, the FAI put it up on Twitter as well, of all the celebration stuff. You know, you see someone like Jason Malumbi. I interviewed Jason Malumbi after the Luxembourg match and after the Armenia match. And he was talking all about how good it is and how vibrant it is. But then off camera as well, it's like, what's the story? Like, is it really this good? He's like, there's a genuine love for it. And there's a togetherness as well. And these are 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. They are younger than, you know, a natural under 21, say. But they've come together and they just love playing for the shirt. And that's what you want. And listen, I may be a bit too emotive and too old school. You just want 11 lads to play for the shirt. But that's what you do want.
Absolutely. You know, screw that. And again, like, I mean, a lot of players, maybe not at underage level, a lot of players are getting a little bit indifferent. You look to international football, you look at Shaqiri, obviously, in his situation. Yeah. And Dan's article today, it was the final act of what's turned out to be an encouraging week for the Irish teams at both senior and under 21 level. But Mick McCarthy still ended up leaving the Aviva Stadium press conference on a slightly tetchy note, having answered with a firm no when asked again if there was any chance of his handover being kicked further down the road, his handover to Stephen Kenny. I don't know why people are asking him about this. Maybe they're looking for a headline, but you sense Mick's uneasy about this, and granted you're being a journalist, but I want to ask him about bringing Troy Parrott, bringing Connolly, maybe bringing Malumbi into the senior squad. That's all that interests me. Yeah. Stephen Kenny's taken over as Ireland manager when Mick is gone.
End of,
that's it. And he's enough to be dealing with. Mick's doing a good job in terms of our results, and the side of football, it is what it is, but I think Parrott and Connolly should be in the team, or should be in the squad, but at the very least.
He did reference that he would have selected Connolly, possibly Malumbi. Mm. I'm not sure if he did mention Parrott, but sure, he was selecting the extended squad. Anyway, if it wasn't for the under-21s having a qualifier, so I think the quote was, he was giving credence for that he could have, but he didn't. So there are players, and I agree with you that, you know, what's the harm in trying to throw them in, but you don't want to rush them as well. I think Troy Parrott, not to just paraphrase Mick McCarthy all the time, but he needs to play senior football for Spurs. I think he needs to get into the first team. He needs to...
I totally disagree.
Really?
Like, I want to be... can anyone actually see a footballer by looking at a game and looking at the player playing rather than, oh, I want to see him playing for Spurs?
It's a whole different level.
If we're playing Georgia, I expect us to struggle in Georgia. Yeah. If we need an option off the bench at 20 minutes to go, I'd prefer Troy Parrott and Connolly to be two of those options rather than what we have, which going into the last game was four strikers who'd never even scored for Ireland. Yeah. Parrott's finishing against Sweden was off the charts. Absolutely. He's had 1.5 games for Ireland, 21s, against decent opposition. He scored 3 goals. confidence. He's already second in choice to Kane, according to Pochettino. I don't give a crap what age he is. I don't give a crap what his experience is.
So has he leapfrogged James Collins because of performances with the 21s?
He should definitely be an option, at the very least. He's a better player, a more talented player than any of these, in my mind. I mean, unless everyone who's talked about him is wrong, he's got a quality about him that I haven't seen, and he should at least be an option. And trying to suggest, we've 3 games left to get into a tournament that is partly played in Dublin, and to try to suggest that if he plays in Georgia for half an hour, that'll kind of stymie or be a stumbling block to his development is complete crap, in my view. I know he's developed from the 21s, but all the underage is basically with a view to playing for Ireland seniors. That's all. Yeah. It doesn't really matter what you do. It's about getting, like, and the structure's in place and all that, but...
There is a risk, but at the same time, nothing to lose. If you're throwing him in.
But you don't even need to bring him off the bench. But we're playing 3 games and we're going to be odds against to win all those games. Yeah. We're on track to qualify, but we've an awful long way to go. We've been outplayed against the 2 big teams, as you'd expect in both games. Getting to the FAI Cup, I love this draw, to be honest, though.
Yeah.
I do. As Dan said, I kind of wish Rovers and Bowes and Talbot, but Daly Mount will be special that night at the same time.
No, will. And again, going back to my play for the shirt emotive train of thought, it's a proper cup weekend, and that's what you want. And hopefully, as you say, it can be promoted. You know, I know there's been a lot, Extra.ie have done a few promo videos and they've tried to build that hype as well, but to have it on a day that people will go to matches, you know, not, you know, treat it with the respect it deserves, and because the matches will make it, you know what I mean? You're guaranteed you're going to have a feisty encounter, an intense affair, and whatever other cliche you can throw into the mix with that as well. And to see Rovers and Bowes, and, you know, for Rovers fans as well, a lot of their fans will want a cup victory, maybe on more than a league victory, because it's been so long.
You know what I mean? I think the showgrounds as well, I'd love to be at, if Crumlin do get beaten by Bowes, I'll definitely try to go to both games.
Yeah.
Because I love the showgrounds. Sligo, proper football town. They're doing great work off the pitch. And, you know, if they can rattle Dundalk a little bit, it's going to be, you know, it is looking increasingly like a Bowes Rovers final, but be careful what you wish for and all of that. Before all of that, though, we have, you know, a cracking EA Sports Cup final at Brandywell at the weekend, and you spoke to Declan Devine.
I did indeed. Declan was in great form, as always. Anytime I chat to him, he's a lovely,
very likeable character.
Yeah, very much so.
Did people do warm to you, though? I've seen you doing the interviews. There's a kind of a natural, just
some people that air
about you. Yeah.
I try my best, Johnny.
You do.
I try my best. Man of the people. Man of the people.
And this interview was obviously it was Ayr's launch of the football season ahead, in which Jack Byrne, in fairness to Jack, you know, he could have enjoyed himself, you know, had a couple of beers and whatever. Yeah. But
he was still buzzing.
He was still buzzing.
He did tell me that. He was jumping around. I think actually he was being interviewed by another broadcaster after the match, and he was literally bouncing before the interview started. So
he was saying, "I actually don't really remember much of the game. It was a bit of a blur." And this was immediately afterwards. Big fans of Jack Byrne here, but also big fans of Decky Devine. And here he was speaking to Shane before the EA Sports Cup final, which will be live in Air Sports between Derry City and Dundalk.
I'm extremely proud to manage the club that I grew up supporting, grew up and played for, and obviously managing before and having a relatively successful time. So it's an honour, as I've always said, it's an honour. But it's hard work, and there's a lot of work needs to go on there, but we're very pleased how it started off, but it is very much a start, and we're fully appreciative that there's a lot of hard work ahead. But having the cup final on the Brandywell this Saturday night is a fantastic thing for us. It's something that we can hopefully reward our fans who have got behind us. But it's enjoyable, it's very enjoyable, but more importantly, it's such a huge chunk of your life to do a job that means so much to you.
You mentioned the cup final in the Roy McBride Brandywell Stadium on Saturday. How big an advantage will that be to have a packed out Brandywell and a packed out Derry City supporters behind
you? Well, hopefully it's an advantage. We know we're under no illusions. We're playing such a successful side and such a talented side. But, you know, over the years, the Brandywell has a lot of memories when that stadium's full and it's bouncing and it's rocking. It certainly can be an intimidating atmosphere, but it also is a place where, you know, we can get our people right behind us. But for us to be able to get our people behind us, we must perform, and that is ultimately what it's about. We have got to give our people something to shout about. We've got to stay in the game and make sure that we are well in the game. And if we can do that, then the rapport between the players and the supporters over the course of this season has been fantastic. And the players have to produce as well to get that rapport with the players, and they've done that over a long period of time this year. So we're really looking forward to it. The people have come out in their numbers. There isn't a ticket left. And, you know, it is a special, special place whenever it's full.
You've had some highs with Derry. You've had some tragic lows with Derry as well. What would it mean to you personally to bring silverware back to Derry on Saturday? And what would it mean to the club?
It would mean everything. To me personally, I've been in three cup finals as a manager 3 years. It's been my third cup final. I've lost the Setanta Cup on penalties to Crusaders. I've won an FAI Cup in extra time against St Pat's. You know, but I've never experienced a cup final as a manager in the Brandywell against the best team in the country. So it would mean everything. It would mean everything for me personally. It would mean everything for my family. But more importantly, it would mean everything for me, for the backroom team that I have at the club. It would mean everything for the players that we've bought, that have bought into what we're trying to achieve. When I'm trying to sell players a dream in January, when we had four signed players, we told them we wanted to be successful. Players have bought into that on a blind basis in terms of not knowing who we were going to recruit or who we were going to bring to the club. So for those people and the support that has really galvanised behind us as a group of people this year, I would really love to take that trophy in the town on Saturday night and show people that we are taking small steps to getting Derry City back to the top levels of Irish football.
You're too young to remember a time when there was very little League of Ireland coverage on TV. Yeah. And we take it for granted now that we've all these live games. We'll have build-up from 7.30 on Saturday night for a rock in Brandywell. And I obviously can't thank Air enough. I work for Air once a week doing this podcast. On behalf of all League of Ireland fans, we're absolutely blessed to have this coverage. And we also have Air putting in a lot of effort. I watched Soccer Republic, obviously, on Monday night. And I spoke to a few people about that since, without obviously getting into it, the effort that Air is putting in at the moment, and you get to do these lovely interviews, and the passion of Decky Devine there, it really shines through. And there's all this talk of Dublin and the five in a row, the three and the treble. Tell us about what that would mean as well, because it's like, this is 30 years since it was achieved by Derry City.
Yeah, it's, I suppose, a coincidence how the fixtures are falling. So yeah, 30 years, so Dundalk going for the treble, only time to be done 30 years ago, Big Jim McLaughlin for Derry, who done it in the 88-89 season, and ironically Derry beat Dundalk in the League Cup, and that's what really kick-started Derry City's love affair with the League Cup. 11 titles now, they're going for 12th, the most of any club in the island. And, you know, Declan, actually, I did say it to Declan in an interview, and he said, someone's going to do the treble. So if Dundalk do it, I'm going to be delighted for Vinny and the lads, and fair play to them. But Declan, Derry are underdogs going into this, but it is a packed out Brandywell, and it is going to be rocking, as you say, and that may give that extra bit of edge to it, and that might push them over the line. Personally, I can't see anyone but Dundalk winning the match. Having said that, though, any time the teams have played this season, over 90 minutes has been a draw. It took extra time for the FAI Cup, so that might be a bit of extra motivation for Derry as well. But what Declan, his passion comes across so well, and he embodies what Derry City is about. He said it at the first question I said to him, how was your second coming as Derry City manager? I was like, well, a lot done, more to do. But to get back to managing a club that I grew up supporting, he's a genuine love for it, and that comes across, and he's frustrated, I suppose, at times as well, that he can't attract all the players that he wants, and he then can't keep the players that he wants because of geographical bases and whatnot. So
the weakness of the Sterling as well.
Yeah,
not a help.
It's going to kill them.
People
going to kill them. And there's uncertainty there as well. Again, he made reference, I think, Derry played Bowes live in Air Sport, and I was chatting to him. He signed 20 new players, so it's kind of a start from scratch. So he's done brilliant, and it wouldn't be a win for Derry, it wouldn't be a win for Declan, it would be a win for Declan Devine, for Kevin Deary, for Paddy McCourt, and for all the fans that are there, and for everyone who's put so much into the club. And
like Decky's, he goes on about the passion and all that and how much it means to Derry, but you should never forget, like, Josh Daniels, his family, the tragedy, the ex-Derry City player, Mark Farron, and then, the one that, I suppose, dare not speak its name, losing your captain in the manner that they did. And it's a city that has suffered so much tragedy on so many levels, and I always think we don't really appreciate it because we're not from a city like Derry, what they've gone through. But it'll be rocking on Saturday night. We'll have Shane Supple and Paul Curry as well, the deadly duo, and really looking forward to it. The other games as well this weekend, Bohemians against Waterford. Could Stephen O'Donnell have wished for a softer landing into the job? UCD at home, followed after playing against Finn Harps away. Sligo Rovers against Finn Harps, obviously a big, big game as well. If Harps kind of need to win that to keep up a bit of pressure on Cork City, who are 7 points ahead of them. But we're not really here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the First Division. And before I do, I want to mention my own club, Galway United. Terryland Park was a special place last Friday. We lost the game, yep. But Alan Murphy and his team, the first half, Rovers barely had a shot on target. And if they had, they'd had one or two. You know, Galway United played very deep with a team of kids, a couple of signings that are basically on very little money, and had Rovers really, really, you know, a little bit worried, I think, second half. Yeah. And Lee Grace and Aaron Green, both former Galway United players, scoring against us. But Lee Grace celebrated like they had won the cup final. Rovers fans...
Good. That's good to see. Absolutely. Former players
I actually messaged him about it on Twitter afterwards. He said, to be honest, I just lost one of myself because it was the motion of scoring a goal and all that. Rovers fans had a dig at me because they celebrated scoring against a goal because I had to pop them. But I was actually having to pop more at their bench and players for thinking that beating Bowes was such a big deal when they really should be doing it a lot more routinely. But the Rovers fans apparently had a great time in Galway. They made great noise.
Last minute pitch invasion,
all that, not ideal.
Sorry to get the dig in, Johnny, but something about Dublin clubs, last minute winners against Galway, I believe. First match of the First Division season, there was a bit of a mini pitch invasion from Shells fans.
Yeah, there
was.
2-0 up, lost 3-2. So in any event, we, you know, Galway United lost the game, but it was a great night and people really looking forward to next season. Should also mention before I forget, we did have St. Patrick's Athletic on to us about the timing of Stephen O'Donnell's press conference. I've my suspicions that Stephen O'Donnell wanted it at a time when nobody reported it, because he probably wants things to be very low key. But we also had Pat on to us about the work they're doing in the community, and we definitely take that on board as well, and hopefully things work out for Pat's, because Dublin 8 is such a big area. Yeah. I was actually saying to Stephen recently, Dublin 8 spans from like Portobello way out to Inchicore. You know, it's a huge area and they have a massive catchment area there.
Yeah, no, there is. There's a massive catchment area. And, you know, Pats is historically, they're a traditional club. They're an old Dublin institution that, you know, if I take my Shelvin cap off and put my journalistic impartial hat on, you know, you want to see them doing well. You want to see them thriving as well. And you want to see them, you know, progress. And hopefully, like, Steve O'Donnell's a great lad as well. And hopefully it goes well for him. Slight bit of a gamble, maybe, you know, because he's young and unproven, but at the same time, so throw him in, you know, let him sink or swim and see how he gets on. That's like going up to Finn Harps there and grinding out a victory after going one down as well. That's, you know, it's a tough place to go to. So it's, you know, there are signs of positivity there, but I think it's more see out the season now, start from scratch next year and see how he gets on.
Yeah, just to mention as well, Jacob Borg, who was called out as having made a horrendous mistake, and Conor Clifford for having made a bad mistake in that report in Soccer Republic. I think they deserve something of a right of reply, because that simply didn't happen in either instance. Just on Pats, I think Richmond Park is a big stumbling block for their development at this stage, unless they can do it up, which I don't think they can. They've no kind of proper, you know, they've no bar in the ground, which I think has helped, you know, Bowes hugely. What about Shells? Like, where do you stand on the whole Talca Park thing? My mate Julian Canny has an idea that Shelburne should be back playing in Rings End where they were formed. Yeah. Should be playing. I think the dog racing could well be dead in 10 years if Shelburne Park was somewhere developed into a stadium or Irish Town. That, I think, location wise would be great. But where do you stand on the whole Daily Mount Talca thing?
I think it's very difficult to turn down a top class facility and turn down, you know, a ground that in theory is going to be 50-50, and turn down, you know, a bar, a nice pitch, a nice stand, running water in the toilets, floodlights that work, that Talca Park doesn't always, you know, ensure. So it is very difficult to turn that down, because it's being marketed as such a good move. But for Shelburne fans, I think there is a massive fear, one of which I definitely take on board and probably veer a bit towards it, that going to Fisborough could kill the club in terms of, you're not going to attract new fans. As much as you can say half the ground is Shells and half the ground is Bowes, we're going to have a bar there and a bar there, red and white seats there, red and black seats there, Shelburne graffiti on one side, Bowes murals on the other side. And you can say it's not owned by either club. Fisborough is Bowes, and Bowes have done immaculate work in marketing themselves around Fisborough and around that Dublin 7 area and making it their own. And it's the home of Irish football, Daly Mount Park. So a lot of people will associate with old Irish matches, but for the vast majority, they'll associate it with Bowes. Shell's catchment area is along the Dart line. you know, going out towards Raheny, Kilbarrick, Harmonstown, and also Santry, and maybe further North County Dublin. When Shells played Sporting Fingal a few years ago in Morton Stadium, it was nearly packed out. You know, there was a real kind of new life there. Shells aren't going to build a new ground. So I think the only option is if Daly Mount does happen. Now, whether it does happen or not, I suppose, is a whole different pod, a whole different discussion, because in theory, Bows are meant to come to Talca Park. So if Bows come to Talca Park and then the council, the FUI, put a few grand into doing up the floodlights, doing up a stand and making it worthy of Premier Division facilities, which hopefully they will next season if Shells get up to the Premier Division, then you're kind of thinking, well, hold on, Talca Park's getting done up a bit now. So why do we have to move? Like, everyone says that it's a foregone conclusion, but I think there's so many changes within the FEI, there's so many changes with people lobbying it from the government as well, that who knows what will happen.
I think it's far from a foregone conclusion. There's been a lot of worrying silence about this development in Daly Mount as well. I completely agree with you. I've never seen Shells as a team that has anything to do with the likes of Phibsborough. I know it's just, you know, the North Circular Road maybe divides from Condra.
Historically, we're from Irishtown, we're from Ringsend, and, you know, we could go back there in a dream world, but I don't think that's where Shelburne is now. Shelburne is more north, and you have to go further, Santry, that kind of area. Like, I'd love, there was pitches up by Whitehall. You know, if you could go to a greenfield site by Whitehall, Colm Kills there, I'd love to take that ground. Or Morton Stadium even was always an option. Whitehall or Home Farm even was an option as well. That was voted down. As far as I think the Shells board as goes, and, you know, any time there's talk with that, it's Daly Mount or nowhere, because that's the only feasible option at the moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, Shells fans have protested about it in the past with Daly Mount, because there's justified fears. You know, you move to there, you run the risk of losing one of the oldest clubs in Dublin with one of the most passionate fan bases, and, you know, it's scary, the thought that for Shells to go there to support a club in Daly Mount is grim at times.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. You know, I'd actually like to get some reaction from Shells fans on Twitter about the move, because I know a lot of you have reservations about it. You certainly have reservations about the fact that you may not finish top of the table this year. Somehow, Drogheda United basically should win the league, barring Shelburne absolutely battering Limerick in their last game. Shelburne against Drogheda United, my first trip to Hunky Dory's Park, is that what it's called now?
Just United Park. Back to United Park.
I've kind of a soft spot for United Park. It's an absolute kip at this stage, but there's still a great atmosphere in it. And the way stand that you'll be in on Friday night will be rocking.
It will. You 500 know, or 600, I believe, is the official capacity.
Sold out. This is going to be a great occasion. Obviously, the goal difference is plus six for Drogheda. Fair play to them. They've hockeyed a few teams this season, and it could well matter, because basically they should win the league if they beat Shells. And I met Ian Morris at the Switzerland game and had a bit of a jibe that they've bottled it and they're this and that, and I think everything's under control, but Drogheda are on a great run.
Drogheda are on a great run, and if Shelburne were to throw it away, it would be peak Shelburne. I think Shells fans...
Oh, no. You're a Shells fan.
No, it would. It would. I'm not being overly pessimistic. Our record of last minute goals conceded and just throwing away leads is... it's second to none, but... Hopefully they do it. My biggest concern would be there's been a bit of talk, a bit of outside noise that the occasion got to them in Talca for the Shells Bray match, and, you know, there was a couple of chances near the end. I think Kieran Kilduff missed a sitter, and there's a few lads that the occasion got to them.
Did you celebrate too much by the Longford win? Posing with the fans in some service station and all that stuff?
Listen, if fans bump into a team by coincidence in a petrol station after a big win, and it was a big win like that, I think the celebrations are justified. You know, you have to enjoy yourself. You know, the Shelburne fans are just enjoying themselves, and it was just more of people may have got caught up in the moment more than anything else, and it was a big victory. But, you know, I'd be worried going up to United Park as well, that the sense of occasion may get to a few people. But having said that, we get a draw, you know, it's still in our hands. You know, it's still all to play for as well. But I'm not sure really, you know, how to go, because it's just what Shelburne team shows up And Drogheda are kind of the form team as such as well, and they've done really well. Tim Clancy's done an excellent job.
Signed another, the lads, Kev and Tim, Kev Doherty, 2-year contract with Drogheda, and two young coaches as well, which is great. Like, I think we focus on, you know, the young players in the league, but the young coaches coming through as well. And just to mention as well, this is obviously the whole narrative, really, the Drogheda Shells game, but Longford are waiting in the wings, kind of hoping that Drogheda might lose the game, and Longford could still feasibly finish second. And Cabin Teely, obviously, hoping to ensure that they finish at the very least fourth by beating Athlone Town. It's Cabin Teely, Athlone, Drogheda, Shelburne, Galway United, Cove Ramblers, Limerick versus Wexford, and Longford Town versus Bray Wanderers on Saturday night, which again is a big game in terms of what's going on in the division. But it's going to be a very exciting finale. And obviously on Sunday in the FAI Cup, it's Crumlin versus Bowes, which is a huge occasion for Crumlin. We wish them all the very best. We have some Premier Division fixtures as well: Pats v UCD and Sligo Rovers v Finn Harps. Shane, your debut on the show?
Yes, very very much enjoyable.
Yeah, you it's I don't know.
It's a good dynamic you and Johnny or you and Dan have, you know, so I didn't want to impinge on it too much. Didn't want to shout over you guys too much. And I hope I was very impartial and
Well, you're a lot more reverential towards me than he is, which has made it a lot more enjoyable for me. But
it's been a pleasure, Johnny.
Yeah, probably see you on Friday night.
Yeah, you might. I'll be in the wasteland with 500 or 600 other very well behaved Shelburne fans. Hopefully celebrating a promotion. But we'll see what happens.
Place will be rocking, and hopefully the time is good for Irish football. I think things are definitely on the up. We should mention the Alan Bennett testimony as well at Turner's Cross, which is the Saturday the 14th of September, which is obviously Saturday upcoming. And a percentage of the monies raised from the game will be donated to the Samaritans in Cork, with a contribution also going to the Cork City FC Academy, where Bennett is part of Dave Moore's under 13 management team. Admission to the game will be €10 for adults, €5 for senior citizens and under 18s, with family tickets, 2 adults and 2 children, available for a score. Tickets are now on sale from the club shop and through Eventbrite. It's Cork City Legends versus current players, and the Cork City Legends team includes Damien Delaney, Dave Barry, Declan Daly, Derek Collin, Keel Campion, John O'Flynn. Some good names.
Big Dan Murray.
Big Dan Murray. Is John Caulfield playing? Maybe he isn't. We don't know.
Possibly.
We don't
wait and see. Could be a special guest on the day.
Yeah, we don't have a full list of no place for Jason Cabey as well, who is if not a Cork City legend, certainly. By the way, before we wrap up, Jace Cabey
and Denzel.
Yeah, and Denzel. What a name.
Denzel Fernandez. You just knew that he was going to be good.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, Shells have had Davy De Silva, Max Cream, a few cult heroes in the past that haven't gone so well. So
I do like the kid Cabia.
Yeah,
I've seen him a few times. I thought he's brilliant against Bowes.
Some pace.
He's a shell of a guy at this age. He's so much physical growing to do, and gym work and all that. And
there's another lad as well, Shane Farrell, who he's one to watch as well. The fingless Messi.
Where do you celebrate on Friday if it all goes well?
Johnny, I curtail my celebrations because I'll be up at the EA Sports Cup final in my professional capacity.
So where do you celebrate?
Possibly in Talca Park. We'll see. There might be a bit of a late license.
Who knows? Yeah, hopefully all above board league.
It's only down the road.
Thanks a million for coming in.
Appreciate it, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Thanks everyone for listening. But there are limits to your life.